Our text today truly does allow us to do just that, to give thanks. We'll look at this text. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Heavenly Father, use this text, your words here today, to draw us in, to make it come alive for us. May you put our feet in the sandals of those that we find here in our text. And may you, Lord, give us a grateful and a thankful heart, as we see where 1 did, but 9 didn't. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Yes, I'm 1 year older than I was last week at this time. I don't feel any different, but you know, those years, they just click away. And I'm going to catch Vern one of these days. You know? But I do want to say, you know, having a thankful and an attitude of gratitude is a wonderful thing. And that's really the title of the message today. And, you know, coming here to church this morning and seeing that, I'm going like, what happened to the food pantry? And I always walk past that going to my office, and it's all gone. They moved it somewhere. And looking around, there's been other changes that have taken place of cleaning up and reshuffling and probably tossing, who knows. But it's all those of you that were part of that, I just gave me a heart of thanks. So thanks to all of you who have done that. Some of you knew it was my birthday, and, you know, caramel popcorn, how can you beat that, was given to me last week. And also, as well as with a birthday cake, kind of from the church council that came with these balloons that I found in my office, and I'm going like, you know, I'm not the kind of guy that just likes a lot of this stuff. I'd rather be in the behind the scenes than to be the spotlight of things. But thank you to those of you that are so wonderful in giving of yourselves and thinking of little things that brings a thankfulness. And you can do that among yourselves as well. And hopefully somebody's doing that for you in your life too. Throughout the week. It's not just on a certain day, but any time of the week. Well, to our text here this morning, we all know that you've heard this before. Some of you have heard this many times. Some of you probably just hearing this for the first time. But for those that have heard this many times, what we see in our text here is that there are 10 men who have a disease known as leprosy. Now, you know, without us, you know, we can read that word and just pass it on and go like, so what, big deal, let's go on with it. And one gets healed and only one comes back. I mean, they all get healed, only one comes back to thank Jesus, and that's the end of the story. It's really not. If you take a closer look at what the text says, and the more you are able to draw out of it, you will appreciate what is said here. The first thing I want you to look at, or for us to just do, you can listen as I bring this up, because a man by the name of William Barclay, who wrote a commentary on the New Testament, he describes what it was like to be a leper in the day that Jesus walked this earth. And there are a lot of different kinds of skin diseases, but the one that Barclay describes, I think will give us all a new appreciation of when it talks about having leprosy, what it's like. He describes a leper like this. He says, the whole appearance of the face of a leper is changed. So I just want you to think about either your face or the face of the person sitting next to you. Because over time, the person's whole general appearance becomes something else. There are nodules that develop, that start to grow and misshape the person's face. There were some back then who said that the person over time becomes to look like a lion. So you say that the head swells, but it's not in any nice way. It is done in with the nodules, wherever they grow, and wherever they grow, it would disfigure the face of a leper. The nodules, as they grow larger and larger, they will ulcerate, meaning that they will break open and they will start to drain. And there's a stench that goes with that whole process. It's a foul discharge that comes from those nodules. The eyebrows, they fall out. The eyes become staring. Leprosy affects the voice, the vocal cords of the leper. He becomes hoarse, and he wheezes because of the ulceration of the vocal cords. The hands and the feet always ulcerate, and slowly the sufferer becomes a mass of ulcerated growths. The average course of the disease is about 9 years, and it ends in mental decay, coma, and ultimately death. The sufferer becomes utterly repulsive both to himself and to others. Gives you a little bit of idea, and this is probably a more rare form of leprosy that took place. You probably see it some places today. There are leproseums around the world where that's where they send lepers. And in this day, the Jews would look at Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 through 46, where it says that if anyone has a skin disease or a skin infection, that this is what they were supposed to do with that person. They must wear torn clothes. Well, they'd be trendy, you know, in our culture. But they'd have to wear torn clothes because they would have to be identified by people at a distance, because they were not allowed to live in the same community, because once you had a skin disease or if you were a leper, you were excommunicated by the community. You were sent outside to live out somewhere away from the other people who were healthy. Their hair were to be unkempt. They would cover the lower part of the face. And so some of that would be so it doesn't spread germs or thinking it would be contagious type of a thing. And they would cry out, unclean, unclean. How would you like to do that? So it's very humiliating to have to be, when you see people coming towards you, you'd have to say, unclean, unclean, so that they would then go the other direction and not come very close to you. Because if they did, they would become unclean and they'd have to go through a whole process to become clean again. They must live alone, and they live outside of the camp. And that's what we find in Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus is where the Levites, the tribe of Levi, and they're the ones that were in charge of how to worship the Lord and keeping the laws and those kinds of things. So they were very much engaged in what needs to be done if someone came down with a skin disease. You can read that on your own sometime today or this week, because there's a lot of little things in there that go along with having an infection related to skin disease. Lepers were forbidden to go anywhere or any place where there were people who did not have the disease. I already mentioned that. So just think of it. There's no more get-togethers for Thanksgiving. No get-togethers for Christmas. No family reunions that you could attend. You couldn't even go to worship the Lord with other people. You were left outside of the community. It'd be a lot like, you know, if somebody was diagnosed like with AIDS. You know, it may not be that same today as it once was, but if you were given the sentence that you have AIDS, well, there was no cure. At that time, I think there's medically wise, there's been a lot of things that have changed that way now. But you talk about not being able to go to Walmart or to Menards or to shopping malls because that was all taken away from you. You got leprosy. And so is there anything that a leper could be thankful for? Is there anything they could be thankful for? Because you talk about their isolation, rejection, and their pain. Well, we look at our text today, we find that there are some things that they could be thankful for. I don't know if they were or not. But we find that it says here that they stood at a distance. They could be thankful that they could stand and that they could still walk. They could be thankful that they could see Jesus at a distance and they knew who he was. They could be thankful that they could even speak because they called out to Jesus. And they said to them, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now remember, it affects their vocal cords, and there's 10 of them. They're kind of hoarse. It would probably take all 10 of them to try to say the same thing together to get Jesus' attention. If you've ever been hoarse before, lost your voice, it's not an easy thing to try to talk. And they had to be at a distance, so they'd have to, you know, it'd take all of them together saying, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us. Have pity on us." And that would be the best that they could do. When you're in need, you don't take anything for granted. And you look at our lives today, we take a lot of things for granted, don't we? Teenagers, you take your parents for granted. Chances are you do in a lot of ways. As parents, you go like crying out loud. Don't they know how much we do for them? What we have to do to provide for them and take care of them and always be there for them. And they don't seem to appreciate it. You think about who's going to make the next meal. It's always the mom kind of thinks about the next meal. You ever get tired of wondering what you're going to make? You get done with one meal, you're happy with it, you go like, "Oh no, supper's coming." You start it all over again. Who worries about pain for the braces? Have you ever had braces? Nowadays, kids expect to get braces. They want to have straight teeth, or their teeth in the way that they want them to be. And the parents seem to go along with them. How do you get those nice shoes and those nice clothes that you wear? Who provides the warm roof over your head and all the hot water for your shower and your bath? How about the electricity that just always is there? Or the vehicle you drive, it always starts to take you where you want to go. And a lot of times you just take things for granted until we can't do them anymore. And that's the way it would be for a leper. Jesus hears their cry, but he doesn't look the other way and go around them and just ignore these lepers, but he actually responds back to them and he talks to them. He sees them, he listens to them, and he responds back to them. Something that probably a lot of people would never, ever do. And Jesus says to them, something that you'd love to hear too. Go show yourself to the pastor. Go show yourself to the priests. Now the priests were, they served as medical examiners as well. They not only served as in the spiritual part of the people's lives, but they would also have something to say about a person's physical ailments, what's going on with them. Because they would probably end up praying for them or anointing them. And so they, it says here that they all went to show themselves to the priest. Now, you know, you wonder if you're a leper, you'd go like, oh, you got to be kidding me. We got to go see that guy? Or we've been to the priest before. He didn't do anything for us. But Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priests. And it's as they went, it's as they were going to see the priest, it's when they became healed. Their leprosy became, was gone. By the time they got to the priest would say, so what do you guys want for me to do for you today? Well, nothing. I guess we're okay. No, I'm not okay here. One moment. Okay. And they were healed. And the amazing thing is this, is that there was only one of the 10 who came back to find Jesus and thank him. And he did that by throwing himself at Jesus' feet, thanking him. And it's, before that it says that when he came back, he praised God in a loud voice. Now, a loud voice means that he was healed. The vocal cords were able to be used again, not in a hoarse way, but in a normal way where he could speak clearly and do it loudly. And sometimes you read that and you just go right by it. But for a leper, that was a big deal. It showed a sign of healing. And it is, here's kind of the kicker. And then Jesus, he says, well, we're not all the 10 cleansed? Weren't they all healed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God other than this foreigner? But the one who came back is identified in verse 16, that he was a Samaritan. Out of all the people that come and give thanks, it was the least likely guy. Because Samaritans and Jews didn't like each other. They didn't get along with each other. But here you have a Samaritan who went to Jesus and thanked him. The least of the ones you would expect. The other 9 were more likely Jews. And why wouldn't they come and thank Jesus? But they didn't. The least one that you would have expected, a Samaritan. It'd be kind of like the unchurched bartender. Or your next door neighbor that just has a real foul mouth. You wouldn't expect that person ever to be in church. And yet one day, there he or she is. And you go, I hope the pastor talks to him or her. You know, it's not always the pastor's job. If you know that person, it is for you. God's given you that opportunity to reach out and to touch that person and to make them feel accepted and loved. It can be even a person who's got a bunch of tattoos and pierced earrings. I mean, pierced piercings. Even in the nose. Or the eyebrows, or the tongue. God loves each and every person. If people had to change the way that you like people, what would that be like? Remember, God accepted you for who you are, and the way that you are, the way that you look, the things that you do. And he still loves you just as much today as he always has. That's hard to put your head around that. Do you think this cleansed leper saw life from a whole different point of view? From a whole different perspective because of Jesus Christ? And the answer to that would be, oh yeah, he'd look at things a whole lot differently now that he was healthy again and he didn't have this disease. I'm sure he was a whole different kind of a guy as he came back into his community and started visiting with people or talking with people and giving them a whole different perspective from his point of view. I want to end with this story here. It happened many years ago that there was a boat that was wrecked in a storm on Lake Michigan near Evanston, Illinois. And students from the Northwestern University formed themselves into rescue teams. They knew that there was a distress signal out, and knew that a boat is sinking or sunk and there's people on board. And one of the students by the name of Edward Spencer, he swam out and he saved 17 people from this sinking ship. And when he was carried exhausted to his room, he asked, "Did I do my best? Do you think I did my best?" And of course, everybody said, "Yeah, you did. You did above and beyond what anyone would think you could have done." Well, years later, a preacher by the name of R.A. Torrey was talking about this incident at a meeting in Los Angeles. And a man in the audience, as he was preaching and telling the story, he called out and he said that, "Hey, Edward Spencer's here! He's right here today!" And Pastor Torrey invited Spencer. He said, "Okay, Spencer, Edward, come on up here. I want you to come up here. Let people see who you are, and I want to meet you as well." But by this time, Edward Spencer is an old man with white hair, and he slowly climbed the steps as the applause of the people were ringing out as he's coming forward. Pastor Torrey asked him if anything in particular stood out in his memory about that incident of the sinking boat and rescuing these people, and Edward said this: "Of the 17 people I saved, not one of them ever thanked me. Not a one." I hope there's no one here that is not a thankful person. But it doesn't take much to be thankful, does it? We'll have a Thanksgiving service this year, and it's like, you know, anybody can be thankful. There's a lot to be thankful for, even though difficult things sometimes happen. But there are 9 who did not come back to thank Jesus. They were ungrateful and they were thankless. But one, and the one you least expect, the Samaritan. A Samaritan. Why'd it have to be a Samaritan? Came back praising God and thanking Jesus for the miracle that took place in his life. The Bible tells us, in reality, we are all lepers. Each and every one of us here today is a leper. And if it wouldn't be for God's grace, we would be a lot different than who we are. But God has come and touched us, touched our lives some way along the way. He has forgiven us of our sin. He has given us a new way of life. And we praise him and we thank him. I mean, hopefully we do. That's what the Lord will be asking of each of us today. When was the last time you just thanked the Lord for saving your soul? Like we sang during the offertory. And maybe you're here today and you can't even sing that song because it's not true about you. Well, I would encourage you to don't leave today without making that a true thing in your life. where you can go home singing, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I can't believe it, that you would love me that much, and you'd forgive me for all that I've done, the way that I think, the way that I act, the things that I do. But thank you for saving my soul and giving me a new life to live for you." I just leave you with Hebrews 13:15. It says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be people that have an attitude of gratitude, to be thankful people. Because thankful people, Lord, are fun people to be around. And there's joy that comes when you're in the midst of being around thankful people. I'm thankful, Lord, to find this church. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I'd be the pastor here. But I'm thankful. Because your ways are much bigger than our ways. I'm thankful for people to cross paths with that I never would have crossed paths with if I wouldn't have been here at this church. And Lord, you bring us into the lives of other people. You help us cross the paths of people that hopefully will make us better people. We learn from them. And we see you in a bigger way than we would have otherwise. So may you work in the hearts and lives of each one of us here today. And we ask ourselves, am I a thankful person? And say, I'm thankful only when things are going good. When they go my way, and then I'm thankful. But that's not real life. Can I be thankful when things don't go my way? Can I still praise you with my heart and in my life? Because I know that you're a God who loves me and cares about me, about each and every one of us here. And that we will not be shaken because of our faith put in you and set on you. So thank you, Lord, too, just for bringing us through another week where there has not been a funeral. We give you thanks for every day when we do not have to say, "I'm sorry," to someone who's lost someone unexpectedly, or even if it was expected. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for coming to hear us, to listen to us, and to respond to us always in the right way. Forgive us for not being able to respond and say things to one another in the ways that we should. And so, Lord, we just pray this prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, and I just invite everyone here to pray it with me.